Kind of a blessed time, and maybe it's just right now here in this place at this moment because we're all gathered here, but His Spirit is powerfully present among us right now. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak, Lord. Speak through Your Word. Speak through Your Spirit, Lord. Speak into each of our hearts and minds now, we pray. Hallelujah. May be seated. So it was hot in here a little while ago. Did you notice that? It was kind of hot. I think we've gotten into summer, haven't we? When the incense cloud came over, I thought it might rain, but it seems to have passed. So I've got a simple message for you today. It's because I have a simple mind. And this dateline comes from Apollo Beach, Florida. I've never been there before, but Hillsborough County Deputy Efren Tavares, a 12-year veteran of the force there, is being called a hero by a local family. Zachary Durant, 9 years old, who has autism, ran away from his home in Apollo Beach Monday evening. His father says he's done this in the past, where he runs to a nearby pond. According to his father, he says it's been recurring. This is a recurring thing for the past 7 years. And it's no less terrifying then from the time it happened, says Sean Durante, Zachary's father. Deputy Tavares found Zachary. He doesn't know how to swim in a nearby pond. Zachary doesn't know how to swim, you understand. Tavares was on one side of the pond, and his father wound up on the other side when Zachary started struggling out in the middle. At one point, he went under the water. And this, according to the deputy, says, "That's when I pulled off my belt and jumped in, swam right to him. He was under a second time before he caught him, and finally he was able to grab hold of him and pull him out." Tavares has responded to several calls with Zachary before, you know, so this is not the first time they've had to go find him. But he said that this time was different. He said this. He said, "We hear a lot about there being no fear in a child. There's no fear. At that moment, I saw and experienced how they don't know what danger is. Zachary didn't realize he was drowning." Tavares and Zachary's father, Sean, want the community to know that they also need to be vigilant if they see a child alone near a pond. I hope that's common sense. Kids with autism are drawn to water, which is an important thing for you all to remember. The father said, "People just sit there and watch sometimes. They should really be asking, is there any way I can help?" Zachary's family considers Deputy Tavares a hero. Zachary also received a safety net tracking bracelet from grant money given to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department so that they can follow him and find him if he goes away, right? Deputy Tavares saved this little boy from drowning. Fully clothed, he jumped right into that pond and saved him. And, you know, this is an interesting story because, you know, we don't hear a whole lot of that good stuff about the police right now, do we? They kind of get a bad rap these days. And all those, you know, recent reportings of shootings and all that sort of stuff. And it's funny that this one didn't make the national news, did it? Isn't that strange? But, you know, this kind of thing, I have no doubt, goes on all the time with our police force, our emergency services in general, you know? And I wanted to share that with you. That's really encouraging. Save this little boy just by jumping in the water. Fully clothed. All he took off was his pistol belt. The police are part of this thing called the safety net. I used that word a minute ago, and you say, well, what is a safety net? Well, duh, it's a net that you put under people on a high wire, a trapeze, you know? That's what it's there for, is to catch them if they fall, right? But there are other types of safety nets as well, too, you know? So there's an insurance called safety net insurance, and this is a disability program. If you're laid off from your job, can't work for 30 days, you pay into this thing, and if that happens, then they cover you for a while. So it's a form of a safety net for your job, so to speak. And I mentioned up here before, the safety net tracking system is a technology that helps public safety agencies find people who wander away from home, like in Zachary's case here. So the police and the fire department and the EMS, emergency medical services, are all part of this thing called the safety net. And it's also, more than that, also a social safety net as well, too. A collection of services that provides, you know, either by the state or by private institutions, charities, things like that, welfare organizations, unemployment benefits, universal health care, all that, homeless shelters, things like that. Three Streams that I used to run was part of a safety net here in Asheville, and we actually would have safety net meetings on a regular basis to try and coordinate those services. So there's really active and some very dedicated people who are still keeping this safety net going in town here already, right now. And we think about other safety nets. Well, our parents are a safety net as well, too, you know. When our children start to grow and they're little, you know, like Gideon was running around here, they venture out a little more and more. They go a little further. They push their limits and they're going out there. And, you know, all the while, parents are kind of vigilantly sort of watching from here or there, you know, to keep an eye on them. And I find out now as I get older that that doesn't really end. But when those toddlers are driving their own cars, living in their own homes, the parents still kind of maintain a level of vigilant watching in any way that we can help our children. And I guess I remember when my mother finally died that you kind of, maybe you don't realize it at that point, but there's kind of an end to this safety net that occurs right then. You actually now are the safety net when that happens. And the whole reason I mention this is because there were some biblical examples of safety net as well here to today. And so, yeah, okay, it's working. I was just making sure. In Ezekiel 31, what a fabulous passage. And didn't you love that? It ends with going down to the pit. I mean, what a great way. And I think I'm going to start there. No. But, you know, this is an interesting thing. He's talking about the nation of Assyria. And he says that the waters nourished it, deep springs made it grow. Their streams flowed all around its base, sent out channels to the trees of the field. You know, it towered higher than all of the other trees, this great cedar, you know. Its boughs increased. Branches grew long, spreading because of abundant waters. All the birds of the sky nested in its boughs, and the animals of the wild gave birth under its branches. All the nations lived in its shade. Okay? Now that sounds like a safety net, so to speak, a place where you can come. You could call it an umbrella as well, a safety umbrella, so to speak, where birds and animals and nations can live in the shade of that, right? But, of course, in this case, we see what happens to Assyria, you know. In verse 10, he says, "Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, because of the great cedar towered over the thick foliage, and because it was proud of its height, I gave it into the hands of the ruler of the nations." Who is that? Anybody know? Satan. Ruler of the nations, right, Satan. Gave it into the hands of the rulers of the nations for him to deal with according to its wickedness. I cast it aside. So because of Assyria's pride, God cast it aside, took away its safety net status, okay? He destroyed that safety net. So what happened to the birds and the animals and the nations, you know? Well, they kind of dispersed. Some of them laid on the branches or kept hanging around there. But basically, they went from a period of safety into a period of unsafety, otherwise known as danger, okay? They kind of had a hard time of it with Assyria gone then, okay? But this is it. This is what the safety net is there for, okay? Now, there's another safety net that's mentioned also in our scriptures today, this one in the gospel, the spreading mustard plant, okay? The kingdom of heaven, in other words. So in Mark chapter 4 there, it says it's like, he says, it's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of seeds, but it becomes the largest of the garden plants, grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. Now, some people have interpreted the idea of birds making nests in there as a bad thing. You know, birds in the Old Testament are considered an abomination to eat, except, but you know, Jesus doesn't specify in this case. You know, they might have been doves, perhaps, which is okay. And so I'm not going to go into that. And see, the reason I bring that up is because I think that I preached this a couple years ago, and we talked about that kingdom growing so big and the church, you know, pieces getting so large that certain little elements, unpleasant elements, could get in as well, too. But I'm not going to go there today. So either way, you see, this seems like a nice place to be under this mustard plant, right? Long branches. You can make your nest under there. It's cool and shady. Sounds pretty good, right? Okay. And that's kind of a safety net as well, what I'm saying there. Okay? I mean, you ever think about what your own safety net is? I mean, have you saved back some money just for emergencies? You got something there, and then in case something serious breaks down, you got some extra funds to draw on? That's kind of a safety net right there. If you have insurance, then you have sort of a safety net going on there too, one form or another. An inheritance, perhaps you have an inheritance you can draw on. Perhaps you have parents or another person that you can rely on that kind of is a safety net for you as well too. Well, where in that list is Jesus? That's my question for you. And is he a part of your safety net? Because he should be, okay? Now, you understand, I'm not saying you should go out and cancel your insurance because, you know, you should rely on Jesus. You shouldn't give up going to doctors or anything like that. But Jesus needs to be in this list, okay? That's the thing. I was chatting this week with a good friend of mine who had recently undergone some fairly rigorous medical procedures. And I asked him, how did you get through that so well? I was really gratified when he said, well, I just decided I was not going to take the pain medicine, you know, and I was just going to get through this thing without it. And I had great prayer coverage, lots of people praying for me. That's what did it. I was like, wow, that's great. That's somebody who understands. Somebody who's got this idea of the safety net figured out. Jesus. First, he's in there, okay? You see, this mustard seed tree that grows so tall and shelters birds and others under it, this metaphor for the kingdom of God includes, of course, at the base, God. Got to have him in there. Okay? The essence of the kingdom, in other words, and all the other parts like the church, its members, those who are praying, intercessors, those who are going around with the various spiritual gifts, healing, prophecy, etc. All of these are part of that mustard seed plant that we're talking about. People who will hold prayer vigil for someone they know or someone they don't know, you know, either way. You are part of the safety net of the kingdom of God, you see. It also includes places and organizations like the church here and also things like Western Carolina Rescue Mission, you know, shelters and feeds homeless people in the name of Jesus. And the same with the Sunrise Kitchen, which feeds unfortunate people in the name of Jesus. Same thing. And, you know, I was thinking about this because there are a lot of people in the world who don't have any safety net, okay? Like my friends in Africa, I know I've talked to you about them before. They only have God, just God. All right. There's no one else to go to. I mean, medical care is scarce or unaffordable, if it is. The government is not reliable. I mean, we don't really have to think about our government not being reliable. I know you can go a lot of ways with that, but for the most part, it's reliable, okay? There's going to be police service out there. There's going to be, you know, protection at our borders, things like that. But in these countries, even the police are unreliable, okay? They might come and they might not. You may be too far out to even call them, perhaps. And rarely is there any kind of ambulance service. I showed you that picture one time as a motorcycle. An ambulance. That's not a real good way to transport somebody who's hurt. But even if there is ambulance service, you got to pay for it at the time of service if you got the money. And by the way, there are few places to safely store your money there as well. So it could be stolen very easily. I mean, think about that. Okay? Imagine if there were no 911. I mean, think about that. No emergency services, right? I actually started thinking about that on some of these trips that I went on, as you can imagine. You go to Africa, I thought, what would happen if one of us came down with appendicitis? Now, the good thing is I was there with other medical people, but still, we'd have to go through some significant hurdles to get that all figured out. And pretty much have to leave the country and get evacuated out in that case. And that would not be easy to do. So it kind of made me start thinking about, what if we didn't have that umbrella around us, which we really take for granted here. And this is that fallacy that comes with this safety net thing that I'm talking to you about. Like Assyria, like insurance, like a person tracker like Zachary had that fails because the battery dies. These can present a false sense of security for you. And the more of these things that we have in layers and layers, the less we remember that God is our Savior and Redeemer. Only God. You know, in dire circumstances, he may be the one who sends you the police or a doctor or a financial windfall or a good Samaritan to your rescue. But he is the one who provides it all. And in the final analysis, any of those other things that I mentioned, this safety net, make up your safety net, they can fail, can fall through the cracks. Because they're all human inventions and they're all flawed in some way or another. But God is always there for you. He is not flawed. He is never unavailable. God is always there for you. He loves you with a love that you can't shake. You know, you can't make him so angry that he turns his back on you. Once he has you, and he has everyone in here, you can't take him off. You can't shake him. He's with you forever. And this is essential for you to remember now, right now. Think about it. What does a preacher preach to a congregation that loves the Lord, that knows the Lord, that knows the Scripture as well as we do? Well, you preach encouragement, you preach power and strength and more into Jesus, but you also preach for preparation for the tough times. And you say, well, you know, this isn't such a great time for me right now either. Well, but you know what? You made it here to church. So that's pretty good. Amen. And what I want you to understand is that in the crisis, in the difficult times, when things are going down the toilet, you need to remember that he is there for you. He will never turn his back on you. His love is unending. Which I think is pretty much what all the messages of the songs today said. But he's much more than a safety net. You understand? I've called him a safety net. I'm sorry, Lord. Because you're so much more than that. In fact, his real purpose is not just to be there for that, waiting in his emergency station somewhere for the bell to ring, waiting for a call. You know, he's sitting back there watching, you know, Barney Miller's. I don't know. His real purpose is to know you and to be with you and to care for you and to converse with you and to enjoy you. That's what he wants. Again, like some paramedic or firefighter watching Barney Miller, you know, or waiting for a call. He's more like a parent, okay, who longs to see his kids and to hear how they're doing, while at the same time he's keeping a vigilant watch, you know, over them for any needs. That's more what he's like. So while I want you to remember that he is at the top of your safety net, in fact, he is the only safety net, not your family, not your money, not your insurance or your county social services, Jesus. He's not just there to save you. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Well, we said Jesus saves. Jesus has saved me, yes, but he's not just there for that. He's there for so much more. He's there for relationship. He's not just your Savior. He's your Lord. 2 weeks ago, I preached to you about Jesus being your friend, your best friend, your BFF, your best friend forever. Well, he's so much more than that, too. And it just makes sense that, you know, like all other attributes of God, his go on and on and on. He is Lord. He is friend. He is Savior. He is Master. He is a strong tower and a deliverer. He is Papa. He is everything. That's God. So you see, in the good times, it can be easy to forget about him. To say, oh, things are going great. I'm doing fine. You know, and then there's all this stuff behind me. If I start to fall, it'll catch me. You've got to remember him in the good times. He is your Savior. He is the reason for the good times. But he's also there in the bad times. And you can get so bad that you forget that he's there too. Even good Christians, strong Christians with faith. Because your faith can be tested. It can be rocked, like what you heard about Paul saying there too. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's why we have to do that. Because there are bad times and they're going to happen. Yeah, Jesus is your safety net. But he's so much more than that. You owe your very life to him, your soul, belongs to Him. But never forget that He is there for you. Good time, bad time, all times. Little 9-year-old Zachary, and I told you about at the beginning, his safety net included the police and a bracelet, you know, and his father that you heard about there. And it saved his physical life, saved him from drowning. He has, just as you have, a father for your soul as well. A safety net for your soul. No matter what happens to you here on earth, Jesus saves. He is the mustard tree that we can live under, that we can shelter ourselves under, that we can be cool in the cool of the shade underneath. Unlike Assyria, He will not fall. He will never leave. He will not be cut down. He is the cedar that we can rest in the shade of. Don't ever forget that. Amen.